to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, a week shy of Thanksgiving. It's Saturday evening, November the 19th, as I broadcast to you live from AM 1380 WLRM Radio Studios in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and, of course, simulcasting to a worldwide audience of TPC fans at our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. As always, I want to take this brief passing moment at the top of the second hour to thank my good friend and yours, Keith Alexander, for his contributions to the show this night. Keith, such a talent, always here, never misses. We're all lucky to have a man like him representing our beliefs and standing true for our cause to put America first. Keith Alexander, certainly a treasure, and we're glad to be able to bring him to you every week on this radio show. Of course, at the end of that hour, Keith was revisiting a couple of passages from Pat Buchanan's new book, new bestseller, Suicide of a Superpower. Keith, as I mentioned, was the first of the cesspool staff to cross the finish line and finish reading the book. And, you know, I think I shared this with you last week. I mean, everybody knows now, of course. It's been a month nearly since Buchanan was on with us. Just the crush of media attention. Truly a Herculean effort by the left-wing press to wage a campaign of hatred against Pat Buchanan for writing this book, for appearing on this show to promote that book. But it seems as though most people are actually thinking for themselves this time. I know I mentioned to you last week, but just to wrap up, since Keith had brought it back front and center to the show, a staggering 91% of voters believe, the people who participated in an online poll that was presented by a very popular website that monitors television and reports on television figures, 91% of the voters in this poll believes that Pat Buchanan should be allowed on MSNBC. And Pat's book team made mention of this fact by writing this: 91% of voters in an online poll conducted by MediaBistro.com want Pat Buchanan to be able to go back to MSNBC to discuss his New York Times bestseller, Suicide of a Superpower. Color of Change, a left-wing organization with 8 known members, has been calling for MSNBC to muzzle Pat Buchanan, the former advisor to 3 U.S. presidents, because of this book. This poll results indicates that the Color of Change censorship campaign has backfired. We have this poll up on our website tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. If you find the blog entry related to it, you can participate it. But in the meantime, new attacks are still being commissioned. Again, nearly a full 30 days. Folks, I've been in this business for nearly a decade as a radio host, and you learn to really get a feel for how things are, how things play out. There's been no shortage of circumstances over the 8 years I've been on the air where we've been in the middle of media stories. But typically, the shelf life of a story is just 2 or 3 days. I mean, Americans have short attention spans. They don't stay focused on a single story for very long. It loses its luster. Well, so enraged was the left about Buchanan's appearance on this show that nearly a month later, they are still commissioning new attacks over Pat's most recent chat with me. I found this entry on the internet, and it reads, "During a blitz for his new book, Pat Buchanan thought it was okay to appear on a radio program called The Political Cesspool. The charmingly named program describes itself as having a philosophy that's pro-white. It wishes to revive the white birth rate to replacement-level fertility. That is completely abhorrent, obviously, and no respectable figure should ever want to touch that program with a 10-foot pole. But Buchanan, who has a storied history of making racist remarks, went on the show anyway. It's completely abhorrent, they write. They write that it's obviously completely abhorrent. Abhorrent because I want white parents to have kids just like everyone else? I mean, what is even remotely abhorrent about that? The alternative, they say that the worst thing they could find to write about me or to write about this show is to say that we have stated that we wish to revive the white birth rate. We think that, you know, whites should be having enough kids to get them up to replacement level fertility. And they write that that's completely abhorrent. And because we believe that, no one should touch us with a 10-foot pole. Obviously, there's nothing abhorrent about wanting your family to continue to exist, wanting your bloodline to continue. There's nothing remotely abhorrent about that. The alternative, as I was about to say, would be for me to advocate that whites should stop having children altogether. Which is, of course, genocide. Is that what the rest of the media is saying that they want? If it's evil for me to say that we ought to have kids, you know, what's the flip side of that? We have no kids. We die. Is that what they were really advocating? And better yet, would it be, quote-unquote, abhorrent for a black commentator to say that he wishes for an increase in the black population? Would you think he would be stigmatized in the same way that that we are? Well, of course not, but that's the double standard. One of thousands that they operate on. And anyway, it's all there for you to read. That story and about 200 others relative to Buchanan's promise. We're going to, you know, I would have stopped talking about it already. I mean, I thought it was a great interview, and it's always good to talk to Pat, but I certainly wouldn't be talking about the interview a month later if it weren't for the fact that, you know, all this crazy stuff's being written. And obviously, we have to set the record straight on this program, as we always do, and as we always will. But, yeah, it was a great interview, but I certainly wouldn't be talking about an interview that happened before Halloween, the week before Thanksgiving, if it weren't for the fact that the media is still 4 weeks way above and beyond the shelf life of an average story, still writing news stories about this. That's hatred, folks. That's hatred. That's obsessive hatred at that. Take a look at it yourself. You can vote in the poll. 91%, I mean, 91% of the people can't agree on whether or not the sun rises in the east, but 91% believe that Pat should be allowed on MSNBC. There's still right-thinking people out there. You know, on any story, even the real controversial stories that get posted on very major media websites, newspaper websites, etc., we almost always win the comment sections. If you read the comments on a racially charged story, most people are talking sensible in those comments, but just not the author themselves. Well, you can vote in this poll. You can read the latest attack against TPC, comment on it, and more at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Folks, the second hour is just getting underway. Stay tuned. I'm your host, James Edwards, and I'll be back with more right after this.
Way, there's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, I barely made it back into the broadcast booth for that one. Went up to the front of the studio, the green room, if you will. Got a little bottled water and must have spent too much time walking back down the hall, because as soon as I put my headset back on, there was the producer. You're up. Well, here I am. And glad to be back with you here on the Political Cesspool. We're talking about, was talking about Pat Buchanan again in the last segment. You know, one thing he said during an interview appearance with the McLaughlin Group a few weeks ago was that he predicted, as the calendar continued to turn, as weather got colder, as this thing continued to play out, that the Occupy Wall Street movement would increasingly become more violent. Now, already, it's vile enough already. Now it's turning violent. I mean, we've talked in previous episodes of the show about how these people defecating in the park, raping in the park, just a lot of chaos, a lot of crime, but now it's getting more and more explicitly violent, just as Buchanan predicted. You see, that's the thing. Another reason why he's hated so much, much like me, is he's right about a lot of things, just like we are. But the deputy mayor of New York City says that Occupy Wall Street members have been stockpiling pipes, knives, syringes, and other weapons around the protest area. Now, we've provided a video for you at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and the title of it, appropriately enough, of this blog entry that contains the video is Occupy Movement Preparing for Violence. But in this video, you can see some of these Occupy protesters calling for violence and threatening to burn the city down. This is in the middle of New York. Now, I'll just say, for the sake of mentioning it, just for the sake of facts, that this is a black man that is threatening to burn the city down with typical urban language, if you will, profanity-laced tirades, talking about screaming about burning the city down. He was going to show them what a Molotov cocktail could do inside of a Macy's department store. And this is being allowed. This is being allowed. Now, I'm all for freedom of speech. I'm all for freedom of assembly. But, you know, there have been a number of very peaceful, not even protests, suit and tie gatherings. You know, Jared Taylor's conferences come to mind. My good friend Jared Taylor of American Renaissance. Twice now, he has not only been denied his freedom to assemble, his freedom to peacefully assemble members of his very intellectual, very genteel organization. Not only could they not get together, they could not even have their legally binding documents honored. They couldn't even meet at 4-star hotels that they had paid large sums of money to retain the meeting facilities and hotel room nights. Because thugs like this guy on this video, people like that with that mentality, they were calling in to say that Jared Taylor was politically incorrect. And you don't want politically incorrect people staying at your hotel, do you? And of course, you know, we all have to worship the false gods of cultural Marxism. So these hotels fall on their sword and kick Jared out. It happened to us in Memphis a few years ago with a conference that I was participating in. And so you begin to think that the Constitution hangs by a thread. If you are a conservative, if you speak frankly and candidly about certain taboo issues, then, you know, your rights are limited. But if you are a thug, you can get on the middle of a street in New York in plain sight of police officers standing right there by you, and you can scream about burning down the city and throwing firebombs, inside a mall. And, hey, no big deal. Well, that's what they're doing. And I'll tell you, you let them keep talking about it. You let them keep, you know, puffing their chests out. You let them believe it in their mind, and they will do what they're threatening. I mean, we've seen it before, the Los Angeles riots. Katrina. I mean, yeah, a diverse society. The level of civilization in a diverse society, it's not very thick. You peel a couple of layers of that onion, and that's all that's standing between civil order and anarchy in a diverse society. And, of course, New York's very multicultural. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Check out the video. Don't take my word for it. You know, that's something we're trying to do more and more, and this has been a concerted effort over the course of, I guess, at least the last year. We try to complement a lot that we write about with pictures and videos and so on and so forth. So we've got this there. Occupy movement, preparing for violence, threatening violence. You can watch it. Pretty good video. Pretty interesting video, I should say, anyway. I can't play it for you over the air as much as I would like to because of the language that this gentleman uses. But if you're an adult, check it out. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. What else is going on in the world today? New show on TLC. You know, I wouldn't have known about TLC if I had not gotten married. But since I am married, and we don't do like a lot of families, we have one TV, and I know a lot of people would say, well, that's one too many. Well, I do like to watch news from time to time just to see what's going on from the establishment points of view. I like to watch cable news. I do watch movies from time to time, and I do watch sports from time to time. The TV doesn't have to be your enemy. You just got to have a filter, a brain that works that can filter out all that heinous stuff, and, you know, you're all right. So we have one TV. Well, I'm married, so, you know, my wife wants to watch TV too. And she's a woman, I'm a man. And she doesn't like to watch sports. She doesn't like to watch politics. She doesn't like to watch those things that I watch. So I've become very familiar with the Learning Channel. And, well, by the way, now one thing we will agree on, we do like to watch some Discovery shows and some National Geographic shows. That's the one common ground we can find from time to time. But I don't like watching, I mean, all due respect, I don't like watching Little People, Big World. I don't like watching Quince by Surprise or, you know, God, what are some of those other shows? I try to tune them out. Teen Mom, she watches that. You know, oh, there's one really bad one. I can't think of it. She watches Sister Wives sometimes. And we do watch the Duggars from time to time, which I can kind of get into them a little bit because they're from the South. They're Christians. You know, I don't know if they're Christian Zionists or not or if they're neocons. But, you know, it's you know, about the family, the white family from Arkansas. They've got like 25 kids. So we watched the Duggars from time to time. But TLC's got a new show, to cut to the chase, before the break. All American Muslim, another quality television program that I'm sure most Americans just can't wait to watch. It debuted this Sunday night. And again, I wouldn't have known about it if it had not been for my wife holding the remote. But don't hold your breath waiting for a television program that explicitly fosters acceptance and tolerance for conservative white folks. But this is what this program is about. How dare people frown upon Muslims? How dare they not think they're just as American as you or me? How dare they think that Muslims aren't just as American as the people who came over on the Mayflower? How dare? Well, this is what All American Muslim's all about. It teaches you that Muslims are just as much American as the people of Jamestown. The descendants of Jamestown. Hey, you're a Muslim. You came over here last year. You're an American, just like them. No more, no less. We'll talk about it more right after this. Stay tuned.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, just before that last commercial break, I was telling you about the show All American Muslim, a brand new series that debuted. If I can get my microphone cord straightened out here, I'll tell you about it. Brand new series that just debuted on the Learning Channel last Sunday night, All American Muslim. Muslims, first generation, second generation Muslims living in America are just as American as all of us, if you listen to the show or watch the show. Now, that's one show we did not watch, but I saw enough previews for it and enough commercials that I know what I'm talking about. We actually have one of those trailers for you, another video for you at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and one of the clips is you know, obviously you knew they were going to work this in there pretty early in the season. They did it the very first episode. So there's this, you know, Muslim woman. She goes on to the airplane wearing a turban and all, and she gets dirty looks from apparently some evil rednecks that were on the flight, you know. I don't know if they were necessarily dirty looks, but they were looking at her suspiciously. I mean, I wonder why. I wonder why. Why would anyone, you come on in there in full Muslim garb, all you can see is your eyeballs, and you're sitting down. I mean, first of all, that alone, let's face it, is going to get you some looks. Never mind the fact that you're Muslim on an airplane. So you're going to get some looks. So what? Well, of course, she turned around, this woman featured on the new All-American Muslim show on TLC, she turned around and she confronted, you know, red state bigotry by saying that she is a PhD and she's going to Washington to lecture at a seminar to set idiots like you straight, idiots like us straight. And so this is the show. And we'll see how long it lasts. We'll see how popular it is. See, that's the one thing about this stuff is they try to sell it, but nobody buys it. And so I don't expect the show to last too long. And I don't want to, you know, give TLC too much grief. I mean, that's a horrible show, and they need to be held accountable for that. But as I wrote in the post, at least they do give us the Duggars. And so I guess they had to do something to even the balance in their eyes. But All-American Muslim, there it is. Go check out the trailer. Leave a comment on the site. I want to email TLC and let you know. Let them know what you think about it. White siblings forced to attend separate schools. Now, this is something. This, again, one of the most outrageous stories I've seen to date. I have no idea how many times I've said this over the years I've been doing this radio program. But every time you think it's gotten so absurd to the point that it couldn't possibly get more absurd, you find a story like this that takes it to the next level. There's a county school board chairman or chairwoman or whatever, chairperson, whatever they call themselves these days. Her name's Kay Fields, and she's black. And she says that racial diversity is more important than family. She says this has become a big story in this community, and I don't know exactly where it is. Where it is really isn't important. It's the facts of the story that matter. It just says Polk County. I never could get a read on what state this was happening in, but whatever state it's in, Polk County is where the action is. And the chairman of the Polk County School Board, Kay Fields, black woman. All right, let me just to tell you how radically feminist she looks. You all know, folks, that I have, you know, nature took my hair from me far too soon. Way too much testosterone. I don't know what happened. God burned my hair off me. It just, you know, I didn't shave it. It won't grow anymore. I, when I was 25, it started going and it went precipitously. Now I can grow a little bit of it on the sides of my head, you know, like you see some older men doing, but you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to embarrass myself. So I shave the sides, the top won't grow. Anyway, I say that to illustrate a point. I have more hair than this woman, and that's how manly she looks. And this is, again, goes back to the first segment where we were talking about trophy wives. I mean, this is the kind of woman, you know, you don't want to bring home to mama, because, you know, who wants to marry a woman that acts like a man? I mean, not me. Dresses like a man, wears their hair like a man, not me. But just to give you an idea of what kind of woman we're talking about here, she's a black woman, you know, got her hair cut real short. She's in charge, she's manly, and she says that racial diversity, she says this in front of the camera, because as I said, this is a big story in this town, and the local news is covering it. Racial diversity more important than family. What's going on here is that two kids from the same family, a boy and a girl, are being forced by the school board in their county to attend separate schools. They go to public schools. Attend separate schools because they need to spread out the racial diversity to these different institutions of learning. These public elementary schools. The school board there is splitting up a brother and a sister, will not let them go to the same school together because they've got to meet their quotas. Each school has to be a certain percentage diverse. You got to have this many percent whites, this many percent blacks. And apparently, if both of the, and we're not talking about the Duggars here with, you know, 57 kids. We're talking about two kids, okay? Apparently, that the second kid is going to break the camel's back with regards to the diverse makeup of a certain school. And so they're being split up. One of the most outrageous stories I've ever seen. What are the parents going to do? You're going to put them in a private school? It costs $10,000 a year to do that. How much money you got? You could homeschool them. That's probably obviously the most sensible choice, the most logical choice in this situation. No way. If I had two kids and they were both going to school and they tried to separate them, either I'd put enough political pressure on the school board to get them to relent or at least try to. And if they wouldn't, I wouldn't send them to school at all in that district. I'd move, I'd homeschool, I'd do, you know, no way am I going to let, you know, some radical feminist know-it-all like this county school board tell a brother and a sister that they can't go to the same school, my son and daughter, that they can't go to the same school. Obviously, the community's outraged, but since when does that matter, you know? When never has the will of the people, not since Brown versus Board of Education, not since 1954, when they figured it out that they could legislate from the bench, or in this case, legislate from the seat of their school board, never since 1954 has popular opinion mattered in America. We routinely have the numbers in our favor on certain arguments. We routinely win controversial referendums at the ballot box, only to have them overturned routinely, again, with the stroke of a pen. And this continues to happen. But folks, listen, do a little research on your own. Go to this story, watch this story, read about this story, and get in touch with the Polk County School Board. Now, we've got to start doing what they do, what the left does, to people that they don't like. You know, they didn't like Pat Buchanan's book. Well, they protested it. They called in MSNBC. They raised Cain about it. And we've got to start doing more things like that. We've got to start applying political pressure when we're being oppressed. And obviously this family is being oppressed and they need help. And they're going to get it from me. And I hope they get it from you too. Now, one more thing before we go to break. I was telling you at the top of the show, back during the first hour, that we received an email earlier in the day from a guy who said he tuned into his first episode ever of the Political Cesspool radio program last week. First time ever to listen to us last week. Just got an email during the last commercial break. A gentleman made a comment. Then he wrapped up his email by saying, thanks, love the show, haven't missed a show in over 2 years. And that comes from a listener in Tifton, Georgia. And I know where Tifton, Georgia is because I drive through it on my way down to Orlando. When I don't fly, I drive. And I know Tifton well, Robert, from Tifton, Georgia. Thank you for writing in. Thank you for being so loyal. Folks, there's so many people out there like Robert that make this show possible. Hasn't missed a show in 2 years. I can't even say that. God bless you, Robert.
We'll return. jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang, call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Quick segment in this hour, then it's on to the third and final, but we have a guest for you. A man no stranger to the Political Cesspool radio program, someone who has been appearing with us since our very inception back in 2004. Gordon Baum is the Chief Executive Officer of the Council of Conservative Citizens, an organization to which I am a member and an organization that is a very big supporter of our work here on the radio. It's a great symbiotic relationship that we share. Gordon, welcome back to the program.
Glad to be with you, James.
It's been too long since the last time, and I was just thinking before the program that I was going to do what I could to rectify that. As I said, for good reason, Gordon has been appearing with us for 7 years because there are very few organizations, if any at all, in this country that are doing the kind of work that the Council of Conservative Citizens is doing and doing it as effectively as they do. Gordon, for the folks, you know, we've been talking tonight about new listeners, always new listeners coming on to this radio program. So for them, perhaps this is the first time to hear you. And for the old timers, they can't hear you enough as far as I'm concerned. Let's talk about the council. Talk about the mission, the organization, what folks can do if they join up.
Well, the Council of Conservative Citizens was established in 1985 in Atlanta, Georgia. We now have members in every state in the union and 14 foreign countries and chapters in half the states and all the southern and border states up the East Coast. And we serve as a voice and as an active advocate for the no longer silent conservative majority. And we get in a little hot water once in a while because we are definitely pro-white. We're not exclusively a white organization. Anybody can join. And we're not against anybody, but we feel that our people have a right to a place in the sun along with everybody else. We built this country, and it's important that our voices be heard. Now, we're in a status right now. This is the best of times and the worst of times. The best of times because of all that's going on in this nation, and with Mr. Obama as our great president, and in the world, people are waking up. We are constantly growing. New members are coming to the fold, and there's nobody else out there doing the job we're trying to do and give us a voice at the active, at the national, local, and state level. And we are pretty effective, not as effective as we'd like to be eventually, but we're trying our best. We got a lot of good people, and we have a symbiotic, as you explained, relationship not only with the political cesspool, but Nationalist Times, Jared Taylor's American Renaissance, and most other groups. But we feel that we're unique and we're the only one doing what we're trying to do. The worst of times is that we are now at a breaking point in this country that we're worldwide, whites are only 8% of the world's population, but we are civilization. We're Western civilization. And we're within a few decades of becoming a majority non-white country. We've already got 5 states that are majority non-white, including 2 of our biggest, Texas and California. And if people don't stand up, and they're starting to do that, but in greater numbers. But we have the economic system, which is a complete shambles. They keep referring to it as the recession. Well, I don't know what the difference between recession and depression is, but we're the Great Recession, now they call it. But people are hurting financially, and it hurts us and all other nonprofit organizations, whether they're churches, charitable organizations, military organizations, for servicemen, etc., veterans groups. And the times are tough, and we are suffering along with everybody else. The reason I mention that is that for the first time since 1985, as you know, being a director, they just voted to raise our dues next year from $25 a year, which it's been since 1985, and the a dollar today is worth about half of what it was in 1985, less than half. And so our dues are going to go up in July to $36. But to help our members and to recruit new members, we've initiated some new programs. We're redoing their Citizens and Former newspaper. I think we're going to a magazine tabloid type so that people can get it online. That way saves us postage if they don't want to receive it by mail. They get it quicker, and it'll be a different format, more pages. And as a special, we currently got on our website, which is COFCC, cfcc.org, that people can now join for $100, and that will carry them for 5 years, which is $20 a year, and they won't have to pay the additional dues for 5 years, you know, the 36 from the 25. And so we're just started a week ago, and we're doing quite well with it. So if anybody's either wanting to join right now for 25, if you put it off, it's going to cost you more next year.
Well,
go ahead, James.
No, I was just going to say, even so, folks, I mean, you're talking about $36 a year, 25 if you join tonight, 36 next year. That's minimal for the organization that you'll be supporting there. Of course, everyone who's a regular listener of this program knows that you've got a mainstream broadcast presence with the Political Cesspool radio program. So you've got that covered. But you've got to apply yourself. I mean, what we can do here on the radio program is bring you informative guests, and we can give you some intellectual ammunition. But you've got to be able to apply all of that stuff that you get from us. And the best way that I can think of for you to do it is to join an organization that will let you be boots on the ground. The Council of Conservative Citizens, a great organization, been around for a long, long time, been effective for a long, long time. And so that's what it's about. And what I like about the council is it organizes chapters on the local levels. It's a national organization that's made up by a network of chapters in different cities and different towns all across the country from sea to shining sea.
To my knowledge, James, we're the only group that has local chapters.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's, you know, again, and these chapters are active in different ways. Yes, they're all under the national umbrella, which, you know, just so happens to be led up by people like Gordon Baum, who's the CEO, who's on with us tonight. But they are able to be active. You know, no one knows Alabama like an Alabamian. No one knows Texas like a Texan. And there's different issues going on in Texas that might not be going on in Alabama. Well, when you join a chapter of the CFCC, you can be effective in your local community, and the council helps give you organization and support and guidance to help you maximize your effectiveness, and you can link up with other great conservative Americans, patriots, and you know,
you
help
can
candidates.
You see
in
our
office.
Newspaper and our website, which we get up to 10,000 people a day to look at, you can read what other groups, even though yours may not be real active right at this minute, there's somebody else in the state next to you that is. Or Minnesota, or New York, or Mississippi. And we're the group that kept Puerto Rico from becoming a state. We're the group that kept the Confederate flag on the state flag in Mississippi.
That's right.
And we have a lot of, in 9 years, we're the one that kept the Confederate flag flying over the state capitol in South Carolina. But we've been quite effective in electing everything from congressmen to senators to presidents and everything else. Of course, they can't say too much for the crop of for presidential candidates this year. It doesn't look real great.
Well, you know, thankfully, the council isn't responsible for who the GOP fills. But nevertheless, folks, as I said, and I want to stress this again as hard as I can with the remaining couple of minutes we have with Gordon. Gordon Lee Baum, our guest right now, the Chief Executive Officer of the Council of Conservative Citizens. If I had to give you one suggestion as to which group you should join, what organization you should belong to, if you want to make a difference in this country, you got to join the group that has a track record, a group that's been around, has stood the test of the time, and the CFCC has been doing that, my friends, for decades. This isn't just a promotional plug. I say this because I believe it. I'm a member. I pay my dues. I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I'm not doing already. And that's why I feel confident having Gordon on. That's why we continue to have him on, to remind people that there are good organizations out there that you can join and that you can be proud of. And the Council of Conservative Citizens is number one on my list. So, again, I encourage you to go to cfcc.org. Gordon mentioned the URL, cofcc.org, Council of Conservative Citizens. CFCC.org. You can join tonight on online. You'll be a member of the organization, just like yours truly, and just like our guest. And we look forward to seeing you at the conferences. We look forward to seeing you during the year at different events. And, of course, Gordon, we just wrapped up a great meeting in Nashville, I think, a couple of weeks ago. I broadcasted live from that event. So,
by the way, if people would rather call us, they can get our number off of our website. Or if they want to write us, they can write us to their address off the website. We're located in the middle of the country in St. Louis, Missouri, neighbors to Memphis there. And we're purposely not in Washington, D.C., because we're not just a fundraising organization. All of our people are volunteers, including people that spend literally every day of their lives working on this. And we have some really fine folks from 90 years old down to 17 years old. And we're glad to have people join our ranks and become part of our camaraderie.
And, folks, you'll get to meet all those great people as I do a couple of times a year every time I go to a CFCC event. And I look forward to seeing you at the next one. Join tonight, third hour coming up right after these words from our sponsors. Gordon, my friend, thanks for coming back on the show and reminding my listeners about what the council can do for them and what they can do for this country through the council. Strength in numbers, folks. Strength in numbers. Gordon Lee Baum, everybody. I'll be back with the third hour.